Blog Talk Radio.
There's a storm coming in.
I know.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to an episode of Preparing for Battle. My name is Roz. Wow, it's been a long time since I've been here. I don't really have enough time to run down exactly what I've been doing. The show that I'm doing today, or that Dorothy and I are doing today, is not about me. So, you know, we'll get that to another time. But I just wanted to say, you know, those of you who are listening and who are listening after this is done on air, that I will be, you know, back doing regular shows. You know, I'm really looking forward to getting back in the saddle here and just, you know, getting the message out to everyone because, you know, time is short and, you know, there's work to be done and people to reach and, you know, there's people that, you know, the Lord still wants saved, so... like I said, I'm excited to be back and, you know, get back on the horse here. Just to give you a little insight, I will be, contacting some of our folks, you know, that we used to have on as guests, like Larry Taylor and Augusto Perez, and, we'll get Klaus Dona on here, when he's finished doing what he's doing, and, Doug Woodward, Doug Riggs, Stan Deo, you know, get these guys back on air and, you know, on Preparing for Battle. But I will do a show, though, with just me and probably Dorothy, you know, just kind of give you guys a heads up as to what I've been up to the last couple of months and, you know, the things that I've gone through. And, you know, maybe, you know, when I do that show, you know, anybody who's listening out there might, you know, want to call in because, you know, they're going through the same thing. So, like I said, the show's not about, you know, what I'm going through today. It's about, you know, what someone else is going through. So, let me bring on Dorothy. Are you there, Dorothy? I don't hear you. Let's see. Are you there, Dorothy? Right. Who do I have here? Hello? Hello?
It was one of the more recent things that just happened, and you were
right on top of it. Okay. Hello? Hello? All right. Something's weird. So, at any rate, I'm trying to find my guest. Let me give you kind of a rundown on... the show today as I get a hold of Dorothy. Sorry, it's been a while. I'm not, you know, as professional and on and on key as I usually am. I'm just trying to get back in the saddle here with everybody, but I read this story yesterday and a friend of mine gave the link to me and I was just like blown away by some of the things that are actually taking place and that a lot of things that people don't know about. And, you know, for those of you who have listened to Preparing for Battle for a long time, know that I'm all about getting that news out and that piece out that nobody else wants to even touch. And this really took my heart. And I'm just, wow. When I read this, I was talking to my friend and my other friend, and I was kind of hoping that I would get this person on air. And when I called Dorothy, I found out that Dorothy was actually it was communicating with this person, and she didn't even know that I was wanting to pursue this. So I'm really excited that he's able to give us some of his time today. Dorothy, are you there?
Yes, I had to call in on the guest call-in number.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that.
Only one host allowed per show.
Yeah, I know. It's so weird. You know, it's been so long since I've been on air. I don't even, you know, I remember some things, but I don't remember. So, you know, we're just getting warmed up here again. And you know, so without further delay, Dorothy, why don't you give the folks out there a rundown as to what the show is about today?
Well, I think the best way to do that is by reading the blog post from Sarah Beveridge, who does the Believer's Journey.
Okay.
Can you post that link in the chat, or you want me to
yes.
do it?
No, I can do it.
Okay. I got this blog post on Sunday, and I posted it to my Facebook twice. And then I emailed it to everybody on my list. And I think this really needs to go viral. This is both a situation for this person that needs prayer, and she does need some, she needs a lawyer in Michigan. But it is also a warning to the rest of us, because the battle has already begun. All right? And this is a spiritual battle. And for those who don't understand what a spiritual battle is, then no, that's not you guys in the chat. Those are the ones that want to stir up trouble for all of us. A spiritual battle has nothing to do with taking up physical arms against people in the flesh. It has nothing to do with that. It's about prayer and praying for people, for wisdom and spiritual eyes and spiritual awakening. And a spiritual experience has nothing to do with a psychotic break. Okay? If you believe you're Jesus or Buddha or whatever, yeah, you had a psychotic break. But if you have a spiritual experience where Father has touched your heart and it leads you to read the Bible, and it leads you to repentance and a change in your character, that's not a psychotic break, because you still are dealing with reality. But let me get to this blog. Okay, she titled it, "Children Shall Rise Up Against Their Parents and the Father Their Child." And she references Matthew 10:21-22. This is the true story of a Christian woman named Laura, who lives in Michigan. Her YouTube channel was called Grace Explosion. On May 29, 2012, around 5:15 p.m., the police came and picked up Laura and involuntarily took her to a mental hospital in the town where she lived. Laura's family had her involuntarily committed by trumping up an outlandish tale that she had made a suicide pact with her friend Sean. Laura and Sean were in the final stage of planning a road trip where they were going to be visiting various cities and doing spiritual warfare and end up in Philadelphia on July 4th. Laura thought that possibly a great spiritual event was about to happen. I came to know about this through a friend who sent me a video of Sean having a phone conversation with Laura while she's being held against her will at the mental hospital. I did not understand what was going on, so I just ignored it. But the Holy Spirit kept bringing it to my mind, so I felt led to investigate further. I was finally led to have a phone conversation with John, where I was able to get the facts that he had. And the more I looked into this, I was just in disbelief and completely shocked by what was happening to Laura. She told Sean in one of their phone calls that the doctor treating her said she cannot be released from the hospital until she takes a drug called risperidone and renounces Jesus Christ. Evidently, the treatment her doctor wants to administer to her is called DSM-4, Religious and Spiritual Problems. More about this wicked treatment can be found at this link. And she gives the link in her blog. It's a PDF. Evidently, this treatment is widely used by the mental health community to treat people who they deem to have spiritual problems. A list of what they consider to be problems is on the Spiritual Competency website and includes mystical experience, near-death experience, visionary experience, and alien counter experiences. But in the case of Laura, her beliefs and claims were obviously just too extreme for her family to cope with. So I guess they figured they could just have her spiritual problem eliminated by having her involuntarily committed and forced to take drugs. Sean had published the name of the hospital and the doctor treating her on his YouTube video. And because he did that, the doctor got angry and cut off Laura from any outside communication. She is not allowed to have any phone calls, emails, or any contact at all except with her court-appointed attorney. She had the hearing on Thursday, June 21st, to determine if she is competent or has to be forced to take the treatment. God willing, Sean will be there to tell his side of the story and has the evidence to show that there was absolutely no suicide pact. Laura's family has falsely accused Sean, who they don't even know, of being a rapist, along with all sorts of other accusations, in order to intimidate him in the hopes he will just fade away. Because Sean was able to get through and speak to the doctor, the doctor called the police, and the police department called Sean and told him that he cannot even set foot in the town, or he will be arrested. Christians did this to their own family member? Evidently, from what I was told by Sean, Laura's family claims to be Christian. What kind of a Christian has their family member involuntarily committed to a mental hospital? It appears as if they waited for the right opportunity to twist the truth and have their own mother and daughter committed. According to this landmark court decision, they must have known they could not pull this off unless they could show she was a danger to herself. Restrictions on involuntary commitment. O'Connor versus Donaldson, 422 U.S. 563 in 1975, states could not involuntarily commit citizens to a psychiatric institution if they were not a danger to themselves or others and were capable of living by themselves or with the aid of responsible family or friends. From what Sean told me, Laura has always been very open with her family about the experiences she claims to have had since she was a child. Those experiences and what Laura claims to have told by God were obviously just too much for her family to take. I do not know Laura, and I have not watched her videos, and I am not going to go into that aspect because I feel that it is completely irrelevant to what they are doing to her, depriving Laura of her civil rights, forcing her to take a powerful and dangerous drug, and worst of all, to renounce Jesus Christ. What kind of a Christian would even consider that to be an option? Her son even hacked into her Skype account, closed down her website and YouTube account. and then to allow her to be treated by an antichrist system that thinks a Christian is crazy and has a spiritual problem because we believe Jesus Christ lives in us. The true message for God's people in this event. As the Holy Spirit has been leading me to pray about this and pray for Laura and Sean, I feel that this event is for true Christians to pay close attention to, as I see many messages in this from the Lord. First of all, the fact that it is so-called Christians doing this to another Christian is very telling. Remember that it was the religious people of Jesus' time, the Pharisees and Sadducees, who completely missed that the Messiah had come, and they ended up persecuting the true church. In Revelations 2:9, Jesus revealed through John that the ones who are the synagogues of Satan, meaning they are a temple body housing Satan, but claim to be real Jews, those with a circumcised heart, were ruthlessly persecuting the true church. This is what has started to happen now, and I believe will intensify greatly in the United States. Remember that in Revelation 13:8, the beast causes all whose names are not written in the book of life to worship him. I believe what has happened to Laura is a lesson for all of us true Christians to pay attention, be watchful, and led of the Holy Spirit, and stay in prayer and intercession for each other. The Holy Spirit has also given me the scriptures in Luke 10:30-37, where the Samaritan helped the man that had been robbed and beaten, while a religious priest and Levite passed by and offered no help. The Samaritans were considered to be unclean, unholy, and unlearned in the things of God by the Jews. I would read and meditate on those scriptures. The other thing that is quite startling is that all attempts to get help for Laura have failed. Sean and many others have tried to contact the media to have this reported. Requests were made for legal representation from Jay Sekulow of the ACLJ organization. This is the partial reply from the ACLJ. ACLJ is unable to represent individuals or organizations in legal actions involving other areas of law, such as personal injury, corporate family law, and other civil or criminal matters. These issues are outside our area of practice. Brethren, our God is able. He tells us repeatedly to trust him, and that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. His promises are sure, but we are also warned that we will suffer tribulation. In fact, it is by much tribulation that we enter into the kingdom of God. Acts 14:22. I believe that our mighty God is going to do something amazing in this, and Laura will have an amazing testimony. For we are also told that it is by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony that we overcome Satan. Please pray. Saints of God, please pray for Laura to be released. Please pray that the Lord will protect Laura from receiving that horrible drug. Please pray that Sean will be able to get into her court hearing and present the evidence of the truth with the power of the Holy Spirit guiding him. Please pray for changed hearts in the doctor treating her, Laura's family, and every person who has been involved in this event. Please pray that the Lord's will is done in this whole matter. In Christ, Sarah. Are you still there?
Okay, I'm here. Oh. Sorry about that. So I'm sure everybody has the point to, you know, what's going on with this girl. I mean, she's being told, you know, because you're a believer in Christ. I mean, they put her in this facility, and I mean, this is, you know, what I get from it. And they're, I mean, sorry. This makes me angry just because she believes in the Lord. And you know, I had a dream. I was in heaven. I've told you about it. I've told my listeners about it. And I speak a lot about it. You know, I felt being there. I could feel there was no pain. There was nothing here that I can't even describe it. I can't even get down to it. But at any rate, this isn't about me. Let's get him on air. Are you looking at the switchboard now, Dorothy?
Yes. Do I click on his number? Is that what I do?
Yeah, you just click on the mic right there.
I click on the mic. Oh, okay. Like that?
Yeah.
It still X'd out.
Which one is it? Is it the second? Is it the one under mine or the last one?
It's the one under yours, the 205 area code.
All right. Hello?
Oh,
yes, hey.
Who did it?
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Hi, Sean. I'm really excited to talk to you. And it's funny because I read about this yesterday, and I just talked to a couple of folks I knew. And I said, I gotta get this guy on here. This is ridiculous. You know, I my heart sunk for this woman, and I thank the Lord for this. This is such a divine appointment. I wish you could have seen how this all played out the way it happened. It's just incredible. So I'm really excited for you to be on here. So if you want to just go ahead and just you know, let the listeners know what in the world is going on.
Sure, absolutely. And any way you want me to lead it, just come in and let me know. What I first want to say is, with everything that just in that, I mean, she could only put what she could in just what she wrote. And there is some things that are not in there of even more that would even blow people away even more on that one. And then the update, because as you know, today is the 21st. And so, you know, why am I here on the radio and why am I not in court right now? So got an update for everybody. And the thing is, I also want to share with people is that although this is alarming and this is God's, he's using this testimony to bring this out of what's to come. This is not, it sounds too, as in a physical sense, it sounds something really bad. But also, at the same time, this is great glory to God, because God is in control of all of this. And this is not for people to be in fear. God is bringing this out and out to the open and using it for his purpose. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, he's put something in my, you know, in my spirit to be completely joyful for everything. And although she is in that system right now, I know that God is working in mighty ways on this. So people, I appreciate the prayers that everybody's going out there. And just like how you've got the story, it's going out just like this. I mean, even the person that wrote the blog, Sarah, it was supernaturally how I was able to even contact her. I mean, I had someone contact me named Sarah that was trying to get a hold of me from Laura. And I was in a place where the signal went out and everything like that. And they were trying to get me to get a phone number. And all of a sudden, later, I was having an email with another person I know that they were contacting with this person named Sarah. So I thought that this was the same Sarah. So I wrote the email and said, hey, I'm sorry, did I miss your call and couldn't get that call through and get that number? Well, she didn't even know who I was. And then it wound up coming into a conversation, and the Holy Spirit led her, and that's where we get the story and everything like that. And then now I'm in contact with her a lot. So he's bringing a lot of the body together and meeting a lot of new people just through this. So that's great. And what I wanted to do, if it was okay with you, I wanted to share a scripture first, and then if I could, go to a prayer, and then I can go into the story, however you want me to lead me, if that's okay.
That's totally fine.
Okay. Through this, what God is really trying to show through this whole story is about love. That love is that all other things will die out, but love will always be. And one thing that really led to me, even when I had to even try to, when I felt that I had to even go into that city and state, when I knew that I could take the chances of being arrested, I just felt like I had to, because at that time, it didn't seem like anyone was coming to her favor. Everybody was feeling this kind of thought like, well, I don't know if I can do it. And then the feeling of, you know, well, maybe she's being put there because it's judgment on her or whatever. And I just couldn't feel that. And all of a sudden, I felt like I wasn't doing my part. So I was led to John 15, verse 13, which is, greater love have no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And I just said, you know what, if they get me, if they put me in, whatever they do, I don't care. I'm going to do it for her and stuff like that, because I feel that I have to lay down my life for that. So, Father God, I just thank you so much for everything that you do. You are the awesome creator. You are the Ancient of Days. You are just powerful and awesome in everything that you do in every way, Father God. And I pray that through this airwaves and everything that you're doing, that you allow this story to go out for your glory, Father God. Father, that it is not about her glory, my glory, anything, but you're getting your testimony out. You're warning your people, but also you're telling them to be ready, because this is a time that you're perfecting the bride exactly how they're supposed to be, the way you want them right now. That it is a Esther bride. It is a Song of Solomon bride, ready and to be ready. And that through persecutions and through, we have to go through Matthew 10, that we are not to be afraid, that this is things that we were already told that we're going to have to go through. But you will provide the words for us to speak, that we don't have to worry about what we'll say, but the Holy Ghost will speak directly through us, Father God. And I pray right now that whatever that comes out of my lips is only coming from you, and nothing comes out of my flesh, and just stay in the Spirit and just stay in the pure joy and the glory of you, Father God. I thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Do you want me to kind of go to the beginning, or how would you like me to do that? Or
yeah, you can. I think Dorothy kind of gave us the story. I want to know a lot about, you know, what's going on, of course, and I just kind of want to get to the meat of everything.
Okay, I didn't know if you wanted to go like how we. Like what we were planning to do, and then how this got all started. Because I got like a lot of the, and she is okay with what information I give out that I can actually read some stuff that
okay, that's
I had to send to the, even to the attorney that you might want to know about and stuff like that. So
okay.
All that stuff is there. So it'll definitely be the meat.
Yeah, whatever information, I mean, you can get out there that people, you know, what you think is pertinent enough for people out there to know about that they have got to know. Because.
Okay.
You know, this is major.
Well, what started with me and her was we were getting ready to meet for June to do a huge prayer meeting. We were going to a place because we both, and as you probably know, and many out there probably know, is that America is not the same America that you probably all thought to. A lot of people are still holding on to their material ways and everything like that. But when you start looking into things and you start researching things, you'll find out that, you know, this system in the country is really becoming a beast system. And so we uncovered some stuff, and I don't really feel that all these things that are happening to her or me or anything like that is physical things, that these are part of things that are happening spiritual, and that we are literally being attacked by the enemy from some of the stuff we're doing, because we found some stuff that uncovered some stuff that had to do with, as many people probably know, about the New World Order, and we felt that there was going to be some strong things that were going to happen between July the 1st and July the 4th. But we had to be in a huge prayer meeting, and we were called to do a 24/7 prayer movement that we had that we were launching and stuff like that online, and to get ready to do this. Well, our family, what we didn't know is we were felt led that we were supposed to go up to the Bilderberg meeting was the first stop that we were going to have to do, and not to go there to protest to like normal people do, but we felt that we were going to reclaim the land for Father God. In fact, what I do is called the Declaration of Dependent on Father God through Jesus Christ. And he had me to go to different parts of the lands and rededicate those areas for God. And so that was where our first step was to do, was reclaim that area for God. But what happened was, is it was I was talking with her through Skype, and she didn't have her headphones at the time. She headset to be able to talk through Skype, so she could only type, and I could, and she can only hear my voice. So I was talking, and we were making plans, and I was telling her I was getting ready to get in my car and leave because she lives way up north. I live down south, and we have never met each other yet. You know, this was going to be the first time we would meet. And a lot of people meet each other online. For those people that are concerned out there and think that's strange, that's a pretty common thing nowadays. But a lot of like her family, they didn't think so of that. They thought that was very strange. And so anyway, it was about 5:15, and I asked. She asked one last question, and then I didn't hear from her. And I was like, "Are you there?" And then there was nothing. And I'm like, "Well, I'm going to be on my way." And I would Skype a little bit on my phone while I was leaving, but I would never get a response. And it was about 11:53 that night that I got a response. And to read what was given to me, let me find that. Let's see. I had a thing that came out. Let me see. Where, well, let's see, let me get this thing, this thing I'm pulling up here. I had this, it said, "Hello, Robert, or so you say, but the truth will come out. I'm here to tell you that the game is up. I know your game, and Laura is far from your reach now. You will never be hearing from her again in this lifetime or any other. I have downloaded all of your videos to my file hosting sites along with all of your chats. I am currently having you looked into and will do everything I can to have you committed. I've already submitted your chats and your pictures to the authorities. Take that and shove it," and I won't go into some of the other stuff to say. And I was like, "What? Who is this?" And I knew this wasn't her. And it just went further. And then they even through this actually said they called me that I was a rapist. And it just went in. And I'm like, What is this? You know? And like, what videos are you talking about? So this was the first thing, and then they even said 2 days later that they contacted the CIA. Well, I knew my phones and stuff was already starting to be recorded, and I thought that was strange that my phones was being recorded. And so I was like, all right, this is strange. Well, when I got to the final story, because I wasn't able to hear from her for 2 days until she finally contacted me, and she told me that her son actually called in on her, and her daughter, they on pretty much tag team, and said that me and her were going to get together and that we're going to meet for July the 4th, and that me and her were going to plan to do a suicide pact together, and we were going to commit suicide together. And through that, of course, if anyone goes to the hospital and they ask you if you're going to do harm to yourself or anything like that, they're going to lock you up. And it didn't matter from there. And so we thought that she would easily get out at the beginning because we knew that that was full of lies. She had proof of that with her Facebook account with her daughter and actually said that she wasn't planning on killing herself, that this was melodramatic, you don't understand what's about to happen. And so through that, I talked to her. She asked me to contact her daughter and tell her and call her son to get him to get her cell phone and get those documents to prove that, you know, this was false and to admit that he lied. Well, they refused to, and they got their father on the phone. Now, we're talking about someone that's 48 years old. You know, we're not talking about a teenager or anything. We're talking about someone that's 48 years old. And so I talked to the father as requested, and he said, you know, that, you know, she couldn't do this. She said she's had a calling all her life, and she was supposed to do the calling that she felt led to. And the family was against it because we have never met, and they thought that it was such a short time that how dare that she would even come and meet me. And they now were thinking that I could come in and do something to her or cause harm and not giving her rights. And so he told me not to call again through that fall. And then when I talked with him, because of what she was thinking was going to happen on July the 4th, he was saying, what if it doesn't happen? And I said, what if it's wrong? What if you're wrong and you're not allowing her to do that? I said, why would you stop anything that God is planning to do and you're stopping her from doing her calling? And he just said, you know what? It's just, he just downgraded everything like that. And that was it. And I got off the phone with him and I told her. And then as we were talking, a couple of days later, they put a restriction on that I could no longer talk to her anymore at that hospital. And so that same day, I was traveling where I was going to, and I got a phone call from the Holland police. And the Holland police called me up, and they said, can we ask you some questions? I said, sure. They said, we're investigating possible criminal case. And we want to ask some things about you. And I said, okay. They said, you know, we have found that you have threatened, you have three threats against this family. And I'm like, say what? I haven't threatened anybody. And I'm not lying. The police officers asked me, they said, what do you mean by Matthew 10? And what do you mean by Jesus? My last phone call that I had with Laura, we talked about Matthew 10. We were talking about what was happening, that daughter against mother, son against father, and that this was happening, and that Jesus did not come to bring peace but brought the sword. That's what we were talking about, because we were talking about the situation that was going on. The police, the only way they would know that is if that phone was wiretapped to know that. So when they asked me about that, what Matthew 10 was. So they asked me that, and then they asked me what spiritual warfare was. And I told them spiritual warfare is prayer. And I explained everything. And so I was thinking of alarm. And then after they asked me about spiritual warfare, they asked me if I had any weapons. They asked me if I had guns. They asked me if I had knives. They asked me where did I live. Then they told me, they tried to look, I gave them my full name because they asked for it. Well, I gave my full name, for some reason they couldn't find it. And they said, you know, if you give us any false information, we have the rights to come and arrest you. And I was like, sir, I'm not lying to you. I'm giving everything that I know about. They asked me if I lived alone. They wanted to know what color my car was, everything. And here I am, like, six or seven states away from this place, and they're wanting that information about me. And so I'm like, okay. So I wasn't able to talk. The next time I was able to get anything was a few days later, and this was the first time I spoke to her attorney. An attorney contacted me and said that he was going to represent her, that he was chosen. And he told me what was happening was is that the family felt that I was going to come now and come murder them or come murder him. Not him, but murder, come to the hospital or try to break, because the cops asked me if I was going to try to break her out or if I was going to do all of these things or if I was going to bring bombs or anything like that. And I was like, I told the police officers, I said, you can check my records. I said, I have a clean record. The only thing you can see that was a problem was in my teenage years when, you know, getting speeding tickets and stuff like that. But I said, you know, I'm a licensed minister. I said, I was a regional youth director of all of these things. You know, I mean, I'm clean. And so they, and then when I talked to the police, I asked them, I said, I have all the documents to prove that she's innocent. And they said, no, you haven't known her long enough. That doesn't matter. And I said, well, I have testimonies from other people that known her a lot longer than I have. Can that help? No, that won't matter. That's just a family thing for this. At that time, it was a pretrial just between the family and her. And I said, well, is there anything that I can send? They're like, no, you can't come to the court thing. There's nothing you can do. And that was it. So I was in a dark. So like I said, the next thing I taught was the attorney. An attorney called up, and that's when he told me that how the family was and everything like that. And I told him I had all the documents to prove it. I was able to send it to him, and he was able to work to get the restrictions off again for me to be able to contact her. So the restrictions came off for me to be able to talk to her only for 15 minutes, and then, you know, and then I could call back later or anything like that. And so I was able to communicate with her to get all the files. That was how I found the PDF file about the religious and spiritual problems. I looked up the doctor's information, and I found out that he was involved that had to do with the DSM-V4 religious and spiritual problems. And I told her, I was like, he's involved in all of this. Well, she also told me that the son finally came and he partially apologized and admitted that he's the one that hacked into her account and her email account and said that he called me a stalker, that he's the one that called me a rapist. Also said that she was on meth, which she wasn't. So here they're holding her, thinking suicide, thinking she was on meth, thinking all of these different things. And it was complete lies. And he even came and admitted to the lies. And yet the hospital and staff still were not going by this because they were in a frenzy from the family. So while that was going on and we provided the evidence and still nothing was happening, this is when the doctor was trying to get her to, we were trying to find, she was starting to break down a little bit and says, you know, should I just go ahead and take this medication? They said, if I take this medication, maybe it released. Well, we later got that if she took the medication, that the reason they're taking the medication is to get her not to believe what she believes, because it was impossible to believe that the Spirit of God can, or Spirit of Jesus Christ can live within you. And if you have the Spirit of Jesus Christ live within you, then you're mentally insane. You can't believe that. That's insanity to them, and that you have to admit that you're mentally insane. And through this process with an update, I've already found that there's other ones in there, probably over 10 Christians that are put into these facilities for believing that, and they have locked them up. And so it's a huge thing. But what I do want to state there from an update that I have, because I have to say this, I'm hearing secondhand right now that the doctor is having a second chance right now of thinking that maybe she's right. And according to what I'm hearing, he's saying that he's going to her and saying that originally it was because he believed what the family was saying and wasn't taking the documentations true, and now he's having a second thought. So I don't want to put anything against him. I'm still praying, and I don't put against any one of them. I mean, for all of us, we need to be praying salvation for these people. It is not anything about putting a threat on them or a curse or anything like this. This is praying for these people that their hearts will change for God and understand that what they're working through is a system that is not of God. It is a antichrist system of what we call it, because, you know, you can't choose and just say you're going to put drugs. I mean, if most people would research what these psychotic drugs, and they do, they have caused a lot of problems, and there's a lot of side effects. And those that ever wanted to visit my YouTube channel, I have videos that talk about what these pharmaceutical drugs do, and they can have a gateway to open things up. Now, I'm not saying, I know some people out there take them if they've had heart attack and all that stuff. I'm just saying that they have been shown there has been problems that caused with this. And even the one that they were trying to give to her is for something for schizophrenia, you know, that they were giving to her. And there has been lawsuits against Johnson & Johnson that makes this drug, which is Respartine. And people have even died from this certain drug they have. And so by getting her to doses and saying that she's going to have to change. But anyway, but what I will say this with that doctor, I don't want to say it, is that, and if he listens to this or whichever, is if you say that you're changing for the better, and because that we have authority by God on these things, is since you are the medical director of all of this, and you say you're starting to believe her story, and now you're saying that you're a Christian, that you weren't spirit-filled, but you're a Christian, then if you want to do the right thing, since you know that you have restrictions and you control the security, and you can control what restrictions she has, lift the restrictions from her not being able to contact me by telephone, since I'm the one that's in charge with her case and everything like that, and let me be able to be in communication with her again. And if you do that, then that will show that what you're saying is true, and that will show me that you're true. Okay, I want to say I can take a break. I got more to share with you, but is there anything you want to intervene in or anything?
No, I just want to say this, and my listeners, you know, the listeners that have been listening to the show for a long time and know how I am and how I get. and I'm me as well, and I, you know, agree with you. I'm in agreement with you when I say that, you know, I'm not trying to let my flesh, you know, get out off of my tongue. But I just want to say that, you know, to be flat out honest, people just really need to stop donkey dicking around. And really, I mean, that's a Stuart Best quote. People need to stop doing this and stop playing Christian and stop playing, oh, I believe in the Lord, and just stop playing these games. This is an absolute serious situation, and this is a real person. This is not a TV. This is not a made-up person. She's real, and this is happening. And we really need to stand up. We need to start standing up, and we need to play the role here, because, you know, the sheep are getting separated from the sheeple. You know, we're being separated, and he says that he'll divide us. And it really makes me mad when you have a story like this, and it's like, oh my gosh, the first thing I wouldn't do yesterday was hop on it. It's like, come on, we gotta get this out. We gotta let people know what the heck's going on. And everybody's just so droned out and zombied that they're happy with their normal flow, and they don't want anything to interrupt that. They don't want to go out of their way. They don't want to get involved because they're scared. They don't want to, you know, they just want to be in this way, and don't, you know, you know, it kind of reminds me of the Pink Floyd video, The Wall. I mean, you know, when the kids are going on this conveyor belt and they're falling off, you know, it just, that's what it reminds me of. And you know, people, they're accepting how some things are. Oh, well, you know, it's not happening to me. It's not happening to my family. So, you know what? I'm just going to ignore it. And I don't need to deal with it. And, okay, well, you know, but yet you go to church on your quote-unquote Sunday every week. And you put your tie. It's just like they're just doing this thing over and over and over again. And any little thing that comes out that is something like this, they don't want to have nothing to do with it. They don't want to put their time into it, their money, nothing. They don't want to help anybody. You know, they just want to keep going on. It's like, come on, people, we need to get off our bums here and get behind people and start talking. Get out there. You know, we need to help this person. You know, she's a sister in Christ, you know, and we have to stop just – I get so excited and everything gets jumbled in my head, but – we just really need to sit back and figure out, you know, what side are we really on? Are you waiting for this rapture to happen? Because if you are, it ain't. It's not gonna happen. Okay, I mean, there's people getting slaughtered every day that wish that want this to happen for them, you know. And this is in our backyard. And people are always saying, you know, we're you know, God bless America, blah blah blah. Well, you know, he's not gonna bless us if we're walking away from stuff like this. We have to get this out. We got to get the story out. We got to get people, you know, hey, I went down the list yesterday. Lynn Marzulli, you know, Stan Dale. I mean, I went through all of them yesterday and sent them this article. Because, I mean, people need to know about it. This should be front news, New York Times, you know, and it's not. It's you know, being, shh, now let's be quiet, everybody, and let's just keep knitting, you know, and let's just keep doing our thing on the porch. And if we just keep doing this, you know, we won't get in trouble, you know. It's just, what, really? Come on, you know. Yeah, it's just, I mean, I wanted to hop on this thing, and I wish you could have been there to see how this just, like, went down. I mean, I called Dorothy, and I'm like, hey, you know what, we got to get this thing. Well, Roz, I'm talking to him. What are you talking about? Get him on the air. I mean, it's just, we have got to just, we really need to stand up and get ourselves, start walking the walk and not, you know, be these drones, you know, because, you know, the Babylonian box is in the front room and, you know, you got all kinds of stuff that's distracting you, but that's Satan's point. He wants to distract us all from something like this, and you know, we're desensitized to you know, a situation like this. There's just no feeling. People, you know, it's, like I said, it's not in their backyard. You know, they're in their own personal square, if it's not there, then it doesn't matter. But, you know, this is our sister in Christ. I mean, we really need to stand up, and people just need to stop acting like you are something, you know, and you just, sorry, it's a Roz rant. You have to listen to me for a long time.
Yeah, that's what it's known as, a Rozzy rant.
just really, I mean, people just need to get off their selves and just wake up, you know, and listen. Sorry.
I can tell I've been there so much during this. There are times I've been so much just so frustrated. I've had others I've talked with where we're feeling together. And I tell you, you know, you find out who your true family is, which really you find out it's not the family that you were born with and all of that stuff behind you. In fact, they're the ones that usually, or at least on my side, they're the ones, you know, I've always been kind of a black sheep and everything through this. And for me, I've always had dreams, visions, all of these things all my life. And, you know, I've had that since I was a kid and stuff. But, you know, being around the ones that all are wanting to sit around and they want to talk about the everyday things and stuff like that. And I always thought that was strange, too, because I always wanted to talk about God. And I wanted to talk about the questions and the things that I wanted to know. And I just knew that I felt like we lived in the matrix, that this thing wasn't real.
Exactly.
That this just was artificial, and it couldn't bring no satisfaction to me. And there was something more. I'm like, why are my dreams more real? And why, you know, flying or any of these things, I feel like I've been somewhere else before, and I'm not from here. And just feeling these things. And then I finally meet people that are like this in my life.
Yeah.
You know, my family, they're nothing like that. They've always been, you know, they're like, Sean, you know, maybe you need to get back and read The Battlefield of the Mind by Joyce Myers or something, because we need to get your mindset back right, you know, because these dreams and visions are not real, you know. And I'm not trying to knock anyone that loves Joyce Myers, The Battlefield of the Mind,
right.
But I'm not into wanting to do a little bit of devotion here and stuff, because that's not deep enough for me, you know. I'm not into just the simple milk anymore. I want some deep meat, you know. And when you wake up and see what the government and things do, because I always tell people, you know, the government has never been for anybody. It has never been good for mankind. I mean, God spoke about that when they wanted a king back in Old Testament. You know, they had the judges appointed, everything like that, but they wanted a king, and he warned them what would happen once you got a king. And every government has been like that ever since. And so this whole idea that everybody thinks, well, the government's there to help me and all that, no, it's not. It's never been. And it's never been different. Everything repeats just like it was. Anyway, I'm getting on a different rant, you know, because I get back to the story. All right, so let me see. Where was I here? All right, so middle of the story.
I just want to tell you, just right now, I don't know if you know who L.A. Marzulli is. Do you know him?
It does sound familiar. I probably do.
L.A. wrote the he's done Watchers 1, he's done Watchers 2, 3, 4, or he's getting ready to release 4. The Cosmic Chess Match. I'm sorry, and I talk to Lynn quite often. That's funny. Because I've got so many people with books that I am in contact with, and I just want to let you know that I got an email from him, and he would like your contact information to speak with you.
Sure, absolutely. Well, what I can do is, okay.
And he's got a broad range of folks who he speaks with. So he's if you go to lamarzulliblog.com or Marzulli blog, you can go on there and see what he's all about. But the doors are opening. So.
Great, awesome. Well, God be the glory on everything.
Amen.
You know, people are just getting tired of all of this. I'm so glad that people are waking up, you know, that, you know, many are called, few are chosen, and there's a reason behind that, you know. Those that want to live by the Babylonian system, and they're going to have it, well, they're going to have it for their little time, and they can enjoy it for what they want. They're not going to like it when it's all said and done, but I don't choose it. I don't. And I don't want it. You know, an iPhone doesn't satisfy me. An iPad is not going to satisfy me. These television You know, I'm like, you have this cable and you change everything through cable and everything like that, but you pay all this money for cable and there's nothing on there. And I haven't had cable in so long. I just like, what's the point of it? Why would you spend so much to have something so ridiculous? And, you know, I'm more like, I want to choose what I want to watch. I don't want to watch what they're trying to give to me, because I think when I'm channeling a channel, you know, changing a channel to whatever Kelly vision that they want to share with me, you know, I'm like, you know, that sounds to me like I'm channeling some type of spirit and they're trying to control what I need to watch, you know. And no, I want to get into the net, and kind of like Peter having that net to come down. So that's where I'm at. I want the real stuff. I don't want this fake stuff out here that Satan gives to everybody, you know. That's just not for me. But anyway, I'm sorry, get on the rant. So I was able to contact and talk with Laura a little bit. We were able to get the documents and everything. And so I was telling her, you know, she was – what was the amazing thing about her is even through this whole thing, she was so humble. I'm sure she got frustrated with things because she was not going to stop her authority of what she knew she had authority of God. And I want to tell everybody out there, when you read Romans 13 and it says obey the government, all that, it does not – mean what you think it does. The powers to be is not about, I mean, really, do you think that the governors and the presidents and all those, these people, many of these are not men of God. You know, just because they say that they are Christian doesn't mean, you cannot be going to a Christian and then you go to Bohemian Grove and if you do the research and you find out what these people are into, no, those are not Christians. They're not, you know, and I'm just telling you. And so Romans 13 authority is talking about the ministers of God. And that is us, the people that when we receive Jesus Christ within us, we're ministers of God, and we have that authority. We have that authority, and it is about us. It's not about the government that is, rules over us, that they try to use that against there, and they teach in the Babylonian system to do that. That's not it. That's not it at all. And so anyway, she was standing by her authority, because what they were going to say is, you know, what we're trying to do is what's best for you, what's good for you. You know, and, you know, that's always what they try to tell you, and that's not the way it goes. So we're talking with her. I told her, I said, you know, I just don't feel good if I go to these other locations. I feel that I've got to come. I said, you know, love is everything. And I'm like, how can I go away from you? I said, so what if I go there and they're going to arrest me in the city or the county or whatever? I said, I feel that God's going to protect me, and I don't care. I said, if they arrest me, I said, I'd rather them arrest me and to have a way for you to get out, so that way you can get out of there or whatever. I said, I don't care. I said, I'm going to risk everything. And so I told her what I felt, and so I was on. I went, and I drove in to that state and went directly to that city. And when I got in that day, I told her later that day, she asked me, because they don't give her anything for internet. She didn't have any freedom. They even stopped her from praying. And then later I found out that even when she started talking about God with other patients, they separated her from those patients. When I found that later. So it was like almost you could not talk about God and stuff like that, or you got in trouble for it, or you got separated for it. She couldn't pray at certain locations. And so it was, she literally, if people see the YouTube video that I interviewed with her, she said she felt like she was in a FEMA camp. She was absolutely in prison. It doesn't matter if it's a hospital or whatever it is, they still treat you like that. They take that freedom away and you can't do certain things. And so I went there, and she asked if I could give her a notebook, just something that she could at least journal with. And so I got a journal, and she asked for a hat. So I picked that up, and I decided that I was going to go into the hospital. So I go into the hospital, and it's up on the sixth floor. I go there, and immediately the security guards were coming out of the elevator, knowing exactly who I was. And they told me that they were not going to arrest me this time, that they would escort me out, but they wouldn't. But next time, if I came on the property, they were going to arrest me. And so so this guy that takes me down, one of the security guards, tells me that the management, and then he said that he was able to, that they were watching my YouTube channels. And he says, yeah, we have watched them. He says, I think they're over-exaggerated what they're saying. But he says, yeah, they're watching it. And I was like, oh, so you mean, he says, yeah, my boss was. So he was telling me that pretty much that staff was. And when I talked to Laura later, she said that since her family got all frenzied, now the whole staff and the doctors and them got all frenzied up because they were watching the YouTube channel of my videos. Now, what I didn't share earlier is her son winded up taking her YouTube account down. She had a blog that had all of her articles and stuff. All of that was taken down. And when I tried to pay everything to bring it back up again, can't get it back up and get the articles back up. So her whole ministry that she did all of these times for at least, as far as I know, is a couple of years, are all gone. And you know, people to understand is, imagine you being in a church and you being a minister and you got a congregation and stuff, and then it's all wiped away from it. It's no different if you have a YouTube account. You know, you take down a YouTube account or you take a website down, you have no idea how much you're taking down. You're taking down a full ministry down, and that's dangerous to do to someone that's called of God to do something like that, or to anyone. That's an actual business or a function, and just to simply take that away, I mean, as much hard work people have done, that's not right. But so anyway, they escorted me off, and so I was able to talk with her, but we, at that process, when we got the documents, the attorney gave her all the files, proving that I was a licensed minister, as a regional youth director, all the background on me, all her proof that she was innocent, everything, and here it laid at the doctor's his desk, and he wasn't doing anything about it. And I told her, well, you know what I'm going to do? We're going to pray about this, and if you're not released by a certain day, I said, we're going to the media. I said, I'm going to start contacting the media. I'm going to start contacting the lawyer and everything like that, because I said, you're holding against your rights. And I did the interview with her on the phone, and she was able to do that. But then I did the next day, I uploaded a video that had the contact information of the doctor's name, the number, and everything like that. And immediately, she was no longer able to talk to me again. And it was taken off. And they told me that when I called there, they wouldn't even get, they hung up the telephone on me. In fact, they would lie. They wouldn't even tell me why she could talk or not, and they lied. And then so I called the attorney up, and wound up, when I found the attorney, he says, yeah, I heard that they put a restriction on because you put a YouTube video on there of the phone number, so they're not allowing you to talk anymore. And I'm like, we have all the evidence of her innocence, and she cannot be released, and that's going on. So I called the doctor's voicemail, and I knew, I felt my spirit, I felt the Lord tell me to video camera, because after what happened with the father, you know, saying that I put three death threats on there, I said, you know, and I felt that I should have recorded that. So I felt the Lord says, call him up, leave a voicemail, but record the conversation with your camcorder. I did, because I knew exactly what was going to happen. I videotaped and I called him and told him that we have all the documents that shows that you're that she's innocent and that she needs to be released. And I said, under the authority with in the name of Jesus Christ, you know, if you do not do this, that I pray that the Lord is going to be starting to, he is going to come and start working with your heart, that he will come into your dreams, and he is going to convict you until you know that you're wrong and that you're going to have to release her, because you have no right to hold her and hold her. Because one of the things they were holding under is what's called, it's called, let me pull it up right here. Let's see. It's called MSL, or the section 3, MCL 330-2050, and what it says is, person acquitted of criminal charge by reason of insanity, commitment to center for fraudulent psychiatry record, examination and evaluation report, opinion, certificates, petitions, retention or discharge of person, accountability of release, provision, condition of being discharged or placed on leave, extension of leave. Basically, the summary of this is saying that they are putting her under criminal charges of insanity. And when I first talked to the attorney with it, he said, oh, she's not under criminal charges. I said, well, why is she under this? And he says, what do you mean? Where'd you get that? I said, that's the document she shared with me that was written down on the court orders was that. And I said, and if she's got restriction on the phone and can't talk, I said, doesn't that sound like she's being treated as a criminal? And so he agreed with me on that. And so I left that message with the doctor, and I said, I am going directly to the other, you know, the ACLJ, and I said, I am going to call the media up, because if you don't do this, I'm going to start contacting people and get the story out, because you're not going to do this since you're doing this. So I left it at that. I started contacting the media. What's interesting is I called the local media. I knew the mainstream media wasn't going to do anything, but I decided to see what I would do. So I called the local media of their paper. I think it was called, I can't remember what it was called. And they told me, no, we're not interested in that story. That doesn't sound like a story that we want to cover. So that tells you where the mainstream media wants to tell you right there, you know, that they could care less about a story like this. And I started going to the alternative media. I even went to some forums. One forum, I shared the story, and they wanted to kick my account out because of it, because it had to do with Christianity, and because they were open to the truth, but they couldn't handle Christianity. And so, of course, they canceled my account because of that, because, you know, even for me to talk about this was insanity. So, you know, so I guess that helps you there. But it started getting out, because now we have, you know, with Sarah and all of y'all out there and stuff like that. So it spread, and it took a few days. But the next day after that was when I got the third call from the police. And then this time they called me up, and they said that, just like I thought, says, the doctor is not going to return your calls, and you're not going to know anything of that, and you have threatened his, you threatened him, and he felt like you have threatened his family. And so he will not be calling you. And I'm telling you, you know how you got ran and got mad? I finally got mad this time, and I told the cops, and I said, look, I said, you know what? I don't feel it very nice that y'all can contact me and you can work with this doctor. And they're like, well, no, we don't work for the doctor. We're coming from the hospital staff. I said, well, okay, well, you're working with the staff and you're saying that I said, I'm in charge. She left me the main person in charge for this a case for her, and that me and her have got to find a way to get together to work for the trial that's coming up on June the 21st, which is a jury trial. And, you know, how are we going to work together? And then he's got all the evidence right there, and you are calling me the criminal while this person is putting her as a criminal, not able to make her, she can't even use the phone. I said, she can't make a phone call, and they put the restriction where she couldn't make a phone call to anybody else either. No one can make it in. She couldn't do anything. And I mean, and so I was like, so there's no way that she's being treated as a criminal. I said, how about since you're able to have them call, y'all can have, they can have you call me and tell me that, you know, that I could be arrested or whatever. I said, and say that I'm threatening him. I said, I have it videotaped to show that I did not threaten him and his family life. I've recorded that now. I said, how about if I file a report against that facility? I said, will you do that for me? I said, he is holding her as a prisoner right there. And I said, that is unconstitutional. That is against the First Amendment, freedom of speech and everything for that. I said, so will you work with me? Well, no, we can't do that. Well, why can you not? I said, you're working for them. I said, I'd like to file a report. They're like, no, that's what you got to wait for the court for. So, oh, I have to wait for the court, but he doesn't have to. I said, okay, I understand. And that was it. Well, the restrictions were there, but so it went for a whole week. From Monday I was able to talk to her. And then this past Monday, which is, well, what is it, Wednesday, 2 days ago was the first time I was able to talk to her again. Found out, and then I received letters where she told me not to go to Michigan. Said that they were planning to trap me, and that the doctor, because of that, that if I showed up at the court date, that they were going to wind up, because the doctor went and talked to her and said that I have threatened him and his family and stuff, that she felt, and then she was getting it from God, that I shouldn't go back to Michigan or go up there because they were planning on arresting me if I came to the court and then try to lock me up for insanity and try to put me in there. And so she warned me at least 10 times not to come because of that. And what happened was, and this is the update from what, since from the story, and the doctor came and shared that with her, and what he agreed with her was that she would take this drug at a small dose of 0.5 milligrams, and by doing that, that she would be released in 3 days if she was to go back home. Well, the thing is her family is still all stirred up. They still, in their rights, think that I am some type of murderer, terrorist, and everything like that. And she pretty much said they have pretty much disowned me. And she says, I will have nothing to do with my family ever at all unless they come to Sean and absolutely apologize for what they have done and that they accept him because we are joint together as one because we have chose to on this and for what we have a calling to do together. And if they do not accept that, then I will not accept them. And she says, I have given them your phone number and that is their first step. And her family took away the house, took away her car, took away her cell phone, her laptop, all of her possessions, every money, everything, will not give it to her whatsoever, took everything away. So the only choice she could have is that she would have to go to another facility, and it was she said that it was supposedly a Christian organization's facility that she was going to. So she agreed to take the 0.5 milligram for those 3 days. She went to this other facility that would allow her to at least walk outside and to be able to. She met a friend there that was able to allow her to use a cell phone and that she could have the freedom to contact me again. And so we thought that everything was coming together. She said that they would allow her to get, if she could get a place to stay or something, but they were going to have her on restrictions for 60 to 90 days and that she couldn't be able to leave or do any of those things because, you know, she was still, you know, mentally insane. Well, we thought everything, and she told me she wanted me to go have a good time and enjoy myself, and you know that the this was over with. And I was like, I just feel this is not over with at all. I think something's still about to happen. Sure enough, she met the new psychiatrist the next day. She was contracted that she would only have to take 0.5 milligram, and they were supposed to help with housing. He came in. They told her and said, you know, why don't you go back and be with your family? Don't you know that your family loves you? Your family loves you. Why don't you accept them? And she said, okay, so she says, if I'm in an abusive relationship, and she says, if my husband just slaps and hits me, I'm supposed to just say that's okay and just to love him back really like that and accept that, right? And she says, that no difference. That's wrong. And says, I will not go back to them because of that, of what they have done to me. And then they said, you know, we want what's best for you, what's good. All you need to do is just admit that, you know, you're mentally insane, you're not right, and then we'll be able to do that. And she says, I will not admit that I'm mentally insane. I'm not going to do that at all. And I told you already, that, you know, as y'all know the story, the other doctor wanting her to deny, God, but said that this guy was on the telephone with this new doctor, and he was very arrogant, and she said he was arrogant, and she stood up and she says, I will not let you take away my authority of what I have in God. I'm not going to admit to what y'all have. I'm not crazy. I am a child of God, and I believe this. And she walked out the door, and because of that, they called the cops right back up. And they said that she had to, said, if you do not increase your dosage, we're increasing your dosage to 3 milligrams now, because they wanted to really just drone her out. Says, we're increasing it to 3 milligrams, and if you don't do what we say, you're going back to that hospital again. And sure enough, that's what happened. The cops came. She left a voicemail, and the same time she left the voicemail, they were taking her back over there. So she's back over at the other hospital now with all restrictions back on again, except now they're able to allow her to make a phone call out, or someone can call in, but just not me. But like I said, the latest news we have is supposedly the old doctor is coming around, is what he's saying, or I'm getting secondhand, and that maybe she can be released, and that's what we're praying for, that she'll be released, but I'm just praying that this is, you know, not another trial. So there, that's the full story.
sorry. I have a child. So hold on.
John, share about the other person that called and talked with you and shared with you about how there were several patients in there.
Yeah, I will share a little bit of that because I don't want to give out too much information on some of those people because that will do a little bit of harm. But what I would share is, yeah, I do know there's another person that's in there that also had their family call them in and is locked up as a child of God Christian too. And then any time that that person is released, although she said that and this person is on Social Security, and gets a check from disability, and is an you know, older lady, I think up in her 60s, and they're just treating her bad, but the doctor is understanding and knows about her and releases her, but every time she goes back to her house, the police pull in to wherever they're located at, where she's at, and take her right back there because they will not, and they will not contact her doctor or anything like that, and so she gets back to the same treatment, gets locked back up, and taken out, and she has shared with me that there is other Christians out there, and from what I'm gathering, I haven't talked to her today, but there's probably over 10 Christians at least in there that are locked up for their faith. They're locked in with those other ones that are seeing the aliens or all these other different things that might have serious issues that will bring harm to themselves, but that's what's happening is Christians getting mixed in these files. So if you feel that the Spirit of God speaks to you or and everything, and so basically if and see what's happening is these people, these staff say that they're Christians, but they, you know, and this is what we get. You see this all in churches. A lot of them say that they believe in the Bible, but they don't. They don't believe the Bible because if you really believed in the Bible, then you would believe exactly what it says.
Exactly.
But they don't.
Sorry.
I mean, when Jesus said, you know, when he said that there's a, you know, that if you had faith as small as a mustard seed, that you could tell that mountain to get up and move to the sea, it wasn't an allegory. It didn't mean that, you know. I mean, come on. I mean, if that was true, then that means Peter wouldn't have walked on the water. I mean, you either take what it is or you don't, you know, and if, so you can't just say I'm a Christian and I believe the Bible, but then you're going to argue with someone when they say that it's real or not, and then you want to disagree with me. I mean, what's interesting, when they come against me about having dreams of vision, I'm like, okay, well, let me think about it. I think it's over 200-something times it mentions about dreams. You have Daniel that was locked up down there. I said, he had dreams, and then you want to, and then people get mad, and they want you to say, "Well, you, the only way God will speak to you is when you say, 'Thus thou the Lord.'" I'm like, "Oh, okay. So you're saying that God is God? He's a creator of the universe and creator of all things. But the only way he can speak to man is he's got to say, 'Thus says the Lord,' or 'Thee,' or 'Thou.'" I'm like, "Okay. So I'm sure Daniel was in prison, and he probably wrote out a scroll right here while he's in prison, and said, "All right, thus said the Lord with this and this, and your dream is this, and let me go find the scripture up to mean this." Yeah, God will confirm it, but the Spirit is downloaded. The whole Holy Bible and everything is downloaded within us and everything like that. And, you know, you think people in China that are being persecuted, and those people are persecuted all these years ago, do you think they had a Bible in their hand when they were locked up and spoke the word of God or whatever they did? And even the apostles, you know, Peter and Paul, like Paul, for example, when they were in prison, it said they praised God. I don't think they had a Bible in their hand. What they do, they did praise God, and the angels came, and a mighty earthquake happened. So, you know, and then when it comes to dreams and visions again, I mean, all the apostles had dreams. You had Daniel having a dream, and he became, you know, where he was. You had Joseph having dreams, and then Joseph winds up being second to Pharaoh. You have the prophets having dreams. You have the apostles having dreams. And then you have John the Revelator. And if dreams weren't important, then why people pay such attention to the book of Revelation? So, you know, there you go. So people out there, if y'all don't want to believe the Bible and stuff, then get out of the way for the people that do. Because this is a God calling, and this is the body of Christ coming up. And this is about the real army of God and the real Christians coming out together. And we will go out for one another. We are the bride of Christ, and we will be there for one another. And if you're not for it, then you can stick with the system, and you can go down with the system. And then God will just have to persecute you a little bit until you get ready. I mean, because you're going to have to go through that. If that's that's what you want. Yeah, and like you said, you know, if you're sitting around waiting for the rapture and you want to be all selfish, and you want to sit there and say, well, I'm going to be taken out of this and stuff like that, you know, look at all the other people that were martyrs and died for Christ and everything like that. But you're going to hold on to this world. I want to tell you, you can hold on to the United States as long as you do, but I want to tell you, the United States is Babylon, and the fires of Babylon is about to happen soon. And so you can hold on to what you want for the short time you have, but you're fixing to lose it very soon. I mean, we got evidence right now. I have a friend that is locked up right now, and you're probably sitting there thinking, oh, that would only happen if you're there. You don't have to be in a FEMA account. You don't have to be anything. They have set this up in all ways for to make you drones. I mean, what do you think? How many of y'all actually like your work, like your jobs and stuff? Many of y'all sit there and complain about your jobs, but you don't do anything about it. You just sit and complain, and it's like everybody talks about Mondays. You want to sit around and say, oh, well, I hate Mondays and all this. You know what? Change your attitude. And it's not about what day it's a Monday. When people start being negative, no, you turn it around and you say, you know what? I am in charge of what type of day I'm going to have and what authority I have, and I'm going to have a day of God. And know that your provisions come from God. Your provisions does not come from man. And you don't sit here and worship man. And you don't have to get a pat on the back from man. You can get your pat on the back of man if that's what's going to satisfy you, but it's only going to last for just a little bit. It's not going to last for what you can really have. I mean, so really, do you want this stuff all your life in the world here that's going to crumble away? Or do you want what God has for you? God has so much more for you that he can give to you than you can have of the silliness of this artificial world that we live in.
Amen.
All right.
So, my goodness, that three-day fast did you good.
Oh, praise God. Praise God.
This story, like I said, is also a test for the body. I mean, are we going to continue to just sit on our thumbs, or are we going to be there for our brothers and sisters in Christ? Christianity is not supposed to be a spectator sport, you know? We need to be involved not just with Father and the Holy Spirit, but we need to be there and be involved with each other, and we need to be active. So, you know, I don't know what we can do for Laura other than pray right now. If there's somebody in Michigan, I mean, send this story out. Make it viral. Make sure everybody knows it till we get to somebody who can actually do something. Now, the United States Justice Foundation may be able to help. I've been in contact with them. I'm going to send them another email today after the show. But she needs a lawyer, not a state-sponsored lawyer. This guy is, like, useless. Like I said, if any of you know, it sounds like we need to send a bus to Michigan or something, you know?
Well, I know God's in control on this, and I think the important thing that Laura wanted out of this is she wanted everybody to pray that miraculous healing was going to happen, because she was able to lay hands on people and someone got healed of colon problems while she was in there. And so there was movement happening in there. And so she's testimony of God. Now, currently right now, she is a little bit frustrated. I don't know if it's within the spirit or flesh, but I mean, come on, people, anybody that would be in her shoes right now, if you had that and you had your own family turn you in, and could you imagine your own son or daughter to be able to take that in? Not to take that your parents would do it, but your own son or daughter would lie to have you in there to say that they were doing it for your own good, you know, and to make you pretty much drugged out on drugs. I mean, for anyone that has gone through and seen people die from cancer or something, I mean, I've had a mom that I have seen die from cancer, and I believe in healing, and against my will, I had to watch her die against my will and watch them increase the medication and stuff, but it was because I didn't have the you know, it was her husband at the moment that had the rights to what could happen with her, and he wouldn't see it my way at that time. And so I had to, here is a woman that fought and fought and fought, and I saw her as a warrior all the time, and she worked the very last minute until she was put in the hospital, and they just increased the drugs, increased it, till I started seeing her just having seizures, and just all these things were happening to her, and she just wouldn't die, and I just knew that she was fighting for it. And when you see something like that happen to your own family or something, but if you could imagine your own family turning against you, and you're put in a place like that, and you don't have any, you know, you feel that all your rights are taken away from you and stuff. And you know, and what made me so mad was in the beginning when people were saying, well, it's because you went in and sinned and everything like that. I'm like, oh, well, you sound like you're like Job's friends. So you're saying that, you know, that this is all because of all of these things happening, and wow, what type of friends are you on this? And I just said, no, love, it doesn't matter. This ain't the time where you take a person and you left them off and say, well, you just give them over to Satan. No, that's not it. This is a child of God. And if someone is completely admitting for, you know, that they're following God and all of that stuff, and maybe you're not understanding what her mission is or what her calling is, and if you might get offended because you don't like what you heard or something, isn't the time that you turn your back on that person and you decide, well, I'm just going to let them go in there because it's because they're sinning, and because they're sinned and they have to go through that. I'm like, okay, well, let's turn it back around on you. What if you were in there? Would you like your friend to do the same thing and says, well, you know, it's because you're sinning and out there? So no, I couldn't do that to someone else. And I was upset that the body wasn't going to come forward, that the people that were her friends, they decided. I mean, she had a really good friend of hers that she helped all this time that she wanted me to contact and be in touch with. And he called me up and said that, well, the Lord told him not to be involved, not to get in there, that it would just bring him down and all of that, that it would be radioactive for him. Well, we wound up finding out that it wasn't the Lord at all. Well, maybe it was the Lord. I don't know. I can't answer for whatever it was. But what we found out, what he told the attorney was, he couldn't get involved with it because he felt that something bad could happen to him to get arrested, and he was just too scared to get involved with it. So here, this person, you know, she went all out of her way all this time and gave him help because he was a newborn Christian and stuff at a time, and she was helping him, and then he couldn't be there for her at that. And come on, people. You know, if we are saying that we are there for love, and that if Jesus Christ is love, and if we do the 1 Corinthians 13 of love is patient, love is kind, and all of those things, then we got to represent that. I mean, if you're not there for people, but yeah, if you don't know, it is for a grace explosion or a Lord to be in prayer. At this time, I'm trying to find out, you know, because I know people would want to send letters or things like that, and I got people doing that, but at this time, I don't know how long she's going to be at that facility she's at. And I will know more information. And those that want to, if it's okay, is it okay if I promote my YouTube channel here?
Right.
Anybody there? Is it okay if I promote my YouTube channel real quick?
Yes.
For those that want to know and you want to inbox me or anything like that, or to know more, because I'll put updates there, you can go to youtube.com/tiredman, like you're tired or sleeping, tiredman74. Don't ask about the name. I've asked, I would wish that YouTube could change that name, but I'm kind of stuck with that. I'd have to take all my videos down and re-upload them to change it. So this was something I started a long time ago. So it's tiredman74, or you can type in the Army of Truth, and that'll probably bring up some of the videos. So you can subscribe there, and then I could give you permission into the inbox if you want to know more information, and I can provide those things. What you would want to do, but I will find out more information soon, and I do know some stuff, but there's just some stuff that I can't release out to the public from what I've already decided to share about. But prayers are really powerful, and I can tell you the prayers are moving, because we have prayed for the staff and we have prayed for that doctor, and if he's starting to turn around, then that means the prayers are being answered, and I think good things are happening. I think God is moving in mighty ways. I don't know so much with the lawyers and all of these things, how much they can help or not on that, that it might be completely a miraculous thing of God. Who knows? You know, God has a plan for all of this. So, yeah, if anybody that has a way and wants to contact me about that, wants to get involved with anything that they can help with Grace Explosion, please do, you know, and then I can give you more information on that, I guess.
Well, we sure appreciate your time and you know, you coming on the show at such short notice. You know, like I said earlier, this story really needs to get out. People really need to realize that this is really happening, and this isn't fake, and it's not, you know, some program on television, and, you know, we're just fabricating here. I mean, this is really, really serious, and for some reason, you know, unless it's happening to everybody, nobody wants to pay attention to it. If it's one person or two people, you know, nobody wants to really bother with it. And that's the kind of mentality that we have got to stop having, because, you know, it's got to stop. You know, people need to get out of their zombie land, and you know, like Stuart Best said, just stop. I mean, he was just like firm when he said it. He's just like, stop donkey dicking around people and get on the ball. You know, and that's what we really need to do. We need to start paying attention. Look around. You know, I mean, listen to what Dave Wilkerson said. You know, I mean, and he warned us among, you know, how many other people, you know, that told us this stuff is coming. You know, and you know, this persecution happened a lot, you know, in our face, you know, 2,000 years ago. And, you know, it's just not happening now. And, you know, nobody sees it. Baloney. It's happening everywhere. There's people dying every day because of their faith. You know, people that we don't even know that, you know, because the media doesn't want to bring it out. You know, they're confined to what they can say, blah, 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 whatever.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really,
I mean,
happening.
I mean, the thing is if people sit there and watch Fox News and CNN and stuff like that, they're not going to give you the real news. They're not going to give you what's really going on. And even some of the places, even on YouTube and stuff, there's places that might not give you the full thing. I mean, a lot of things the Lord is going to give you, and you know, I mean, things will come from people. They are, you know, I know a lot of the churches don't promote prophets of God and don't say that those exist there, and they try to downcast that, but there is a lot of, you know, prophets out there that are speaking, and people are waking up today. God is pouring his spirit on all flesh, and it says that old men would have dreams and young men would have visions, and that is happening right now to many people that are having a lot of things that are coming together. And you know, if people don't see the signs, I mean, you know, the signs are everywhere. I mean, people can look at what's going on with Syria right now and look behind the thing. I mean, even if you do the search and see what's going on in the state of Michigan, there's some pretty interesting stuff that's going on in the state of Michigan. If they look up why the radioactive level of the radiation was so high a couple of weeks ago, you know, the normal radiation level is around 60 MPI. For the whole country, but all of a sudden it was up to 7,182 or something like that in Michigan all of a sudden. And then Homeland Security got all involved and kept it with media blackout and stuff. So if people want to search that, you can find stories of what was going on with that. And there's there, but you're not hearing that on TV. Their TV ain't going to share that with you. They're going to get you involved in what the latest things happen with the celebrities and stuff like that and all of that stuff. You know, and if that's all you want to care about, you want to just get involved what's the latest going on with the celebrities, then, you know, that's not really going to give you much information and help. And watching these TV shows, I mean, y'all people that want to watch TV shows, like there's a new show out there called 666 about something out there. I mean, come on, guy. I mean, if you got a show that's just right in your face of something like that, then that should ought to tell you something. And if you are so just drone down and zombie to not even see the truth out of that, and you say you're a Christian, and then you're going to fight with someone that actually is telling you to wake up. I mean, one of the videos I did, I do an analogy at this, is a lot of y'all get upset and mad at us trying to wake you up. You say we're trying to either scare you or that what we're doing is lying or stuff. Well, let me ask you this. If you were standing by, if I was talking to you and all of a sudden I saw something down near you that I thought was a snake, And I decided to say to you and say, hey, you know what? There's a snake right there. I think you need to get away. But it winds up being a rope instead of a snake. Are you really going to get that mad at me? I mean, you probably would think me that at least I thought that that was a snake and at least you didn't get bit. But what if it was a snake and I didn't warn you and that snake bit you and then you got to the hospital and everything and I winded up and I told you and say, you know, I thought that was a snake, but I just didn't want to say anything. Then you would have been upset with me. So all we're doing out there is we're giving warnings out. We're letting you know that what you're living in is not the truth on things that they're telling you. And the thing is think about the word prophet. It's interesting that you have prophets, but then you take the word prophet as prophet. So you either get the prophets that make the money that are on the media that is telling you things, and those people out there are making money by telling you lies and deceiving you, and you would rather believe them than you would believe a common person off the street or anyone that is warning you or telling you, don't believe everything you see. Test everything that you see and don't believe everything. All you got to do is look up who owns everything. Look up and follow the money. If people would look up who owns Fox News, who owns CNN and stuff, you will find that it's small corporations. And then when you find the head honcho, it all leads to some powerful elite people.
Yeah.
And you'll find out they're all together. And they're not telling you the truth. They're doing it for their own profit and for their own good. And I'm going to tell you something. Would you really trust a media that owns something in America, and then yet they own something exactly in the Middle East? And so they're telling the Middle East one thing, and they're telling you another thing, and they're profit for both sides of it? And if you look at all wars, and you go back to all the wars, starting even especially in the French War, you will find that the bankers were involved with both sides of the battle. And you will find that even in America, that our government was involved with both sides of battles of war that involved with things like that, and that they do false flags in order to bring things. Nothing is coincident. There's nothing happens just by accidental purposes or anything like that. It is a stage for them to do different things there. And you got to understand, if you stay in a physical, you're only going to see things in a physical realm. But if you see things in the spirit, because it's not flesh and blood that we battle, but principalities and powers, things of higher places. And when you understand that, then you will understand that there is things going on in other realms that are bringing all of these things together and up. And what they do is they feed off of fear. And fear is the absolutely opposite of faith. And faith is something that you cannot see with physical eyes. But fear, they give fear to you by things you can see with your physical eyes that will scare you and use things. And fear also means respect. So if you are fearing the enemy, then you're giving respect to the enemy and you're not giving it to God. It says that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And the other thing is to understand love. Love spelled, if you pronounce love backwards and pronounce it, it would sound like evil. And also live spelled backward is evil. So, and then lived with a D at the end spelled backward is devil. So it tells you what the opposite is. You either live for God or you are a devil inside of you, or you carry love, or if you do not carry love, then you're evil. And I'm sorry, people, if you get offended and if I call you evil, but if you not have the love of God in you and you would put someone, you put your own family in a prison or put in a mental institute and you're saying you're doing it for their own good, that is you controlling. And I'm sorry, your heart is evil. And I'm not just going to call it like it is. You're evil. And you better go and repent. And any of you that do not want to wake up to what's going on here and you would rather get on to your brother and get mad at them because they're trying to help you and tell you the truth, you have an evil heart. And God is not happy about that. And you need to go and repent before God and get your heart right and allow him to take out that old heart and put a new heart within you so you can get right and that he can have his purpose put in for you and you can be saved.
Wow. I think the whole time you were talking about this, I was thinking about how when I first walked away from the church and how, you know, everybody thought I was getting into the occult and everything, and it had nothing to do with that. I just started hearing the truth. and you know, people want to pick out different scripture and stuff like that, and maybe, you know, just maybe have one sentence of scripture and then not read the whole thing. And it's like when you read the Bible, you got to see it through spiritual eyes as well, because if you don't and you just think through the physical all the time, I don't know where this is going, but for some reason I feel like I need to say this. You only have one method way of thinking. We're taught from kindergarten to feel and to know our senses and to you know, see things as, you know, in order to believe it, blah blah blah. That's what I'm trying to get at. And you know, it's funny because, you know, that's what Satan did from the beginning, the very beginning with Eve. He enticed her. He manipulated her and had her senses take over, and how she felt, and, you know, let's all get into the feeling of this, and that's what makes it good, you know? And they've been teaching us that forever. And as you were talking about all this, I was just thinking, you know, how, like I said, how I first heard, how I started hearing. And I think I always heard, but, you know, I was either too young and didn't understand or something. But I have this group of people who are not my family that I love very much, and I've gotten to know very well, and they trust me and I trust them, and they love me and I love them, and I know that they would do anything for me. And it's just people that I've just come along, you know, in this ministry and I've just held on to because they have been such a support. And, you know, family just isn't blood. It's beyond that. But just hearing the truth and people just, I can't even understand it anymore, how somebody can sit in a church and just listen to the same thing, and how some of these people behind the pulpit are not saying, you know what, you need to know your enemy. And that's one of the things that I push on this program. Know your enemy. You need to know who you're dealing with. Well, we don't want to glorify Satan. That has nothing to do with it. We're not glorifying Satan. I mean, read your Bible. Read it. Read it with your spiritual eyes. Find them, please, because you have got to know how smooth and how very under, I mean, just you, the detection has got to be there, because he is so smooth, and I'm not glorifying him. I'm just letting you know, not you, them. I'm just letting people know, you know, he's so smooth in what he does and manipulating, that people need to know. And they're not doing that out there. They're not telling them what the demonic and the spiritual releases that come out with the decisions that we make. With every decision we make and action that we do, there's consequences. If we saw what happened in the spirit world in the decisions that we make, I bet you 9 chances out of 10, everybody would be as sweet as pie. Nobody would want that, because they wouldn't want to see the ugly. You know what I mean? And that's you know, but these guys, and I love Dave Wilkerson, and I absolutely loved the way he preached. He was just like right on with everything. People behind the pulpit, they don't want to say anything. Why? Because they're being controlled. Well, who cares? You know, you got to say what you got to say, you know, or else, you know what I mean? It's all right there in my head. And I know people that have listened to this program. I've been doing this for 4 years, and they know what I'm trying to say and what I want to get out. It's just that people have just, they're being led. And it's sad. It saddens me. I feel it. It's just this sadness, because nobody wants to speak the truth. Everybody's so afraid. Well, we're afraid this will happen. Afraid this will happen. You can't have that fear. You got to get up and stand up and you know, get off your seat, man. Get out there and start preaching the word and telling the people what they need to hear. Well, and like I said earlier, well, you know, if the Lord, and this came out of a relative's mouth, because I asked him, I said, what would you do if you saw an alien? Now, I'm not saying alien as in, you know, ET, We all know what they are, okay?
Right.
If you saw him standing there, what would you do? Well, I would just probably freeze or, you know, I would pray and ask the Lord. Pray and ask the Lord what? Hey, my 8-year-old knows. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus and run. You know what I mean? Don't just stand there and not educate yourself. He says my people die for lack of knowledge.
Exactly.
There's a lot of it out there, and everybody needs to know, you know, they really need to get back into before all this commercialism and before some God became an enterprise. You know what I mean? And these big churches started going up. I mean, get back into your small closet where it all started and you know, get back into his word, you know, and have that meditation time and have that time with him because, you know, you know, I love the book of Habakkuk and I love how he talks about, you know, when he was in such danger that he found peace within himself. You know what I mean? With what was going on around him, he still found that same glorifying peace and joy within himself. And that's where we all need to be. We need to make sure that when this really hits the fan and it goes big and they start putting us all away, we need to be able to find it and not go nuts in a, you know, 4x4, 10x10 prison cell. You know, we just really need to listen and stop, you know, listening to the same old thing all the time, because that's why people are so droned out. They don't know. They're not getting any further. They're being stopped. It's like it's stunted in growth. You keep getting milk, and where's the meat come in? You understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
I'm there. I just I don't want to keep saying I, because it's not about me. I just praise the Lord I praise him for people out there that were able to talk about this stuff and get people on that track, because, you know, they're going to be calling us nuts soon enough, you know.
Absolutely.
I don't know. This is the first time I've done a show in a couple of months, and it's all been bottled up inside of me, and I haven't been able to speak, so I'm all, but, no, just stop, you know.
Can I add something to the conversation, Ron?
Sure, Dorothy.
You know, I listen to Michael Rood's Shabbat Night, and he has people writing letters, and the last Shabbat night he had, and he does share those on YouTube, he was sharing how one of the people who work with his ministry had gone to Europe to work in the prisons to preach the word. And he was taken out of his bed in the middle of the night by American feds and brought home and put in a federal prison under the NBAA. And he is not alone. There are lots of people. Evidently, he was exposing the corruption and naming names. And we all know that this current administration is using the NDAA and the DHS to take care of their political enemies. So don't think it doesn't happen. It happens. And they've also started with the death panels in Obamacare, because there was a vet who had heart problems from Agent Orange, went to go take his stress test that is typical of someone with heart problems. They have to do that. And the insurance denied it because he was 67 years old. They have started denying stents, dialysis, stress tests. So the time is late. I know I say that a lot. People probably get tired of hearing it. But the time is very late, and we need to learn to get out there and do the spiritual warfare. We need to be close to Father.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can't just sit on our thumbs and do nothing and just say, oh, God, give me an iPad and give me this and give me that. Father knows what we need. He'll provide it. We need to pray for our brothers and sisters in trouble, our brothers and sisters who are getting their heads lopped off overseas. It's coming here. Don't think we're going to escape it. So,
you know, if I could add something to that, too, if it's okay. you know what? God is really making it very clear right now that his nose can't handle the stench that he smells right now with the lukewarmness going on. He said that he would rather you be hot or cold, meaning you need to draw the line. You need to be on one side or the other. You can't be on the middle ground anymore. There's no more time for it anymore. And he doesn't want, Jesus Christ is not a hippie person that you think, and that's not what meek means. I know people say meek and they think that he's not a sissy. He's not a wussy. And he didn't call his people to be wussies or sissy either. When it comes to spiritual warfare, no, we're not talking about taking your swords out and you're going off and slashing people like they've done in Islam and all of that stuff. No, we're talking about spiritual warfare because that's more powerful. When you're in the heavenlies and you're battling with your armor of God, as it says in Ephesians 6, I think that's a chapter, and then Romans 13, authority, you have more authority over that. And you got to understand, if you see something, because a lot of things you're going to see, if you see something with your eyes, a lot of times what you saw is probably what it is, and you just didn't realize it. You can't, if God wants us to go back to like children. When you were children, before you were indoctrinated with the program that they taught you to learn that when the bell rings, you got to sit in the thing right, or you got to have a roll call, or you got to take a test, and it's all about scoring programs, and it's all these programs, and then you get a certificate, or you graduate to the next level, and then you go to your job after your college thing, and then it's all about moving up the chain and everything like that. That is not a program that's the kingdom of God. I'm sorry, that's not it. That's not the program. And it's all about love, too, to understand this. And they have did this, and now this might sound, now people, listen, I'm going to tell you something. If y'all get into thinking about, you get mad if I start sounding like I'm New Age. No, I'm not New Age. The difference between New Age and what I'm talking about is New Age, they think that they are gods. No, we are children of God. We are children of the Father. We're sons of God. We're part of the children. And one thing I've been trying to turn away from is using the word human now, because the word H-U means deity or God. And they have put that in there for purpose to confuse us that every time we say human or humanity that we're talking about God-man. No, we're not God-man. We're children of God. But they have shown frequency that when you have a frequency that goes, like if you were to see a sine wave, and you see the low frequency, and it just does these big loops and stuff, that shows the level of free. Low frequency is fear. I'm sorry, not free, I meant fear. But rapidly going up and down on a sine wave is love. And you would think, mentally, you would think it would be backwards, because you're thinking that when you're scared or in fear that you would have all this anxiety and it would jump more. But no, love has a vibration of things, and many of y'all felt that out there. I'm telling you, this is something that is God is showing me on these things, and this is not New Age. This is what he wants to get. When you are in love and that cup overfloweth and you feel so much love inside of you and you just cannot contain it, and I mean, and that's when the gifts of the Holy Spirit start speaking out and you feel like you got to go prophesy to someone, or you speak, or your prayers start moving and you feel that movement come over you, the joy of the Lord and stuff, that is a high frequency. And they do not like that. They feed off of fear. And they use purposely that low frequency. Many of them people out there, if you want to know something interesting, is look up HAARP and find out what they use up in Alaska. And you go to HAARP, I think it's harp.alaska.edu, and you'll see that they use these things. And a lot of people say that it controls the weather. It can even do mind control. I'm going to tell you, it works. It's real. It's not, you know, for those that are alarm awake out there, check that. They do that. It's already been patented. They've been doing it for a long time. But also, we are harps ourselves. And what I mean by that is, we don't like have antennas on us or anything like that, but we have a frequency level. You got to understand that we are spirit. We have a spirit, a soul, and a body. And he says, we're not of this earth. We are part of the heavenly kingdom. And once we have Christ that lives within us, and this is what they would throw me in for insanity, is by saying that since Christ lives within us, we have that love. We have everything that is God that's within us, and we have that love. But we have that higher frequency. We have that authority, and we walk in it. These demons and all of these things, these are fallen ones. These are Nephilims from Genesis 6 that are demons, and they already are cursed. They are cursed. They want us to make us think that they are these alien beings, and they have all this authority, and they have all this power over us. No, they do not. And you get up and you rebuke them, and you say, in the name of Jesus Christ, get thee behind me, the Lord rebuke you, or whatever you do. And you know what? And it's not so much what comes out of your mouth that what's in your heart. And I'm going to tell you, y'all people out there that just want to go around and you want to start using the Word of God, and you're going to say words like, well, thus says the Lord, and this, and you're going to say, well, the Bible only says this. I'm going to tell you, those demons are going to eat you up alive because they know that your heart's not in it. When you have the heart of God within you, there is no weapon that formed against you shall prosper. You can pick up serpents and scorpions, and nothing will harm you. And you can cast those things off, and they can be gone. People probably heard of chemtrails and stuff like that. You go outside, and you say, in the name of Jesus, and make those things disappear, and they will disappear. They have no authority over the things they've done. I started doing that about a month ago, and they started disappearing. I used to get so frustrated with chemtrails and what they were doing, and so worried about what was going into my body and all of that stuff, and I said, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. It doesn't matter what comes into my body. I am a heavenly being, and what I mean by that, I have Christ that lives within me, and there is nothing that will harm me. And if something does harm me and kills me, then that is for God, because he allowed it to happen. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, He will do his thing within me. And otherwise, I am free. And I offend a lot of people by saying that. But I want to tell you, the gospel is to offend people. Because if I offend someone, then that means that it is getting to you. Because the gospel is offensive. Because you're either going to hear it or accept it. And what I'm going to say is, I am above the law. And what I'm saying is, I live under grace. And so I do not have to go by these kangaroo courts. I don't have to go by these authorities of what they state there. Because they don't rule over me. I have Christ that lives in me, and Christ fulfilled the law. And so I am above that law because I have grace. I have Holy Spirit within me. So, yes, that always causes problems on my YouTube channel by stating that. But that's just the plain truth. Because if Christ lives within me and that we are a part of the body, we have that authority. We do not have to serve the law. What I mean by that is, if you look at what the governmental system does, they put everything under laws, and you'll notice they always love to worship Solomon. They love to put everything that has to do with a temple and everything like that. The temple is within us.
Yeah.
And it kind of, as an object lesson, the abomination of desolation is what destroys our temple. People look up and find about Fred Federal Government, and you'll find out that Cisco has everything to do with a side company that has the RFID chip, and they're ready. They have a GPS system that is 7 times stronger than what they have, that can come up within 5 feet of you right now, and it is ready to go. It's already in the Obamacare bill, and it is ready to go, and it is the mark of the beast. It is there. They've already got it ready. And so y'all people thinking that it's not here or anything, no, it's here already, and it's the RFID chip, and it is ready to go. And that is one reason why I think this health care and all of this stuff is very important, because they're putting her in there, they're putting others there, they're trying to subject them to drugs, and what they're trying to do is take your authority away from what you have in God, and you will take that mark. And once you take that mark, I'm sorry, it's over with. You have compromised. And if you do not have strength in God, and you do not have love, and you're not there, and you're not in God, and in your private closet, and going to God, not man, it doesn't matter if there's a pastor, or if you're going to someone. You don't need to go to a pastor to get forgiveness. You don't need to go to another person to get forgiveness. You can share your things there, but you go before God and allow God to work with you. You don't have to go to man. You don't live by man. You live by God. And if you are not strong, I'm sorry. The choice is made. You will either have to go through a martyr system, or you will take that mark. And if you're weak, you take that mark, it's over for you. And I'm sorry. That's just it. It's already been written. Anyway, sorry. Got on the tangent again.
Well, we're down to 2 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. But thank you so much for coming on the program. I have your contact information here with me, and if you don't mind, I'd like to pass that along.
Awesome, sure, absolutely.
Okay. And, you know, we pray that the Lord, that Yeshua be with you, and, you know, we, people, I either go left or right, people, you know, he says to us, you know, we can't serve two gods, you know, so, you know, you have to choose that for yourself. I can't pick that for you. Dorothy can't, Sean can't, no one can. You know, you have to choose on yourself what you, who your Lord is and who you want to serve, because time is narrowing down. And, you know, when judgment comes, you know, then it's too late. So at any rate, I just want to say thank you so much again for coming on. We will be in touch with you. And, you know, look for future Preparing for Battle shows. I got to get a hold of some of my past guests and coordinate times and things with them. But I just want to say that may the Lord bless you all, and keep your chin up. He's coming back. Amen.
Amen to that.
All right, then. So Dorothy and I will say goodbye with Sean, and I just want to, like, again, I just want to say God bless you all, and, you know, thanks to listeners for listening for as many years as you have, and you know, sticking with this, because, you know, it's very important that you hear the truth, and, you know, you're not going to get it in front of a Babylonian box. Got to get it from somewhere. Go to Larry Taylor's blog, LarryTaylor.com. Check out his blog. Go on the L.A. Marzulli blog. Stuart Best has his, lightgate.com, standeo.com. Check out their websites, everybody. There's a lot of information on there that's for survival, things that you need to know, things that are coming up. So I just want to say goodbye to everybody, and I will be seeing y'all soon. God bless.
Father bless everybody.